Avos Perk Base, Mishnah Yudches 2:18, and in some versions it's going to be 2:13. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon said this is Rabbi Shimon ben Nisanel, not the usual Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Again, this is the fourth of the five students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So he said his three things. Hevi Zahir b'kriya Shema v'sfila. You should be careful regarding the reciting of the Shema and the prayer. That's number one. Number two, Ukasha Atam mispalel. When you pray, Al ta'as tfilas chakeva, don't make your prayers fixed. Elo rachamim betachanunim lifnei hamakom baruchu. Rather, they should be like requests for mercy and sincere supplications before Hashem. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, this is a pasuk from Yoel. Ki chanun v'rachum hu erech apayim v'rav chesed v'nicham al hara'a. Hashem is gracious and merciful, but he bestows that grace and mercy on those who request mercy from him. That's the implication, the intended implication of that verse. We'll come back to things a little bit. And thirdly, Rabbi Shimon says, "Va'alti rasha b'fnei atzmecha," and don't be a rasha in front of yourself. Don't be wicked in front of yourself. So, let's go through this one at a time here. First of all, he says, "Hevi zahir b'kriya shema v'sfila." Be careful regarding saying the Shema and prayer. So, why is he focused on these of all things? And remember, Rabbi Shimon here was praise for being a yirei chet, for being fearful of sin. And yirei chet, fear of sin is certainly a great amila, a good attribute. So it may well be that his point here is simply one of that Kriya Shema and Tefillah are really time-bound and, you know, time-sensitive mitzvahs. And if you sort of tarry in the morning, you get up late, you don't pay attention, before you know it, the window is closed and you can't get it back again, right? So, that being the case, be careful not to let the time slip by. Perhaps, like, more than that is that, you know, getting out of bed first thing in the morning and starting your day right is a great way to start the day. It's the right thing to do if you're serious about life. So you're going to, make each day count. So you're going to get up nice and early and pray in the proper time. And Kriya Shema and Tefillah essentially are the essence of the Shacharis Tefillah. Of course, there's brachas before and after, but that's the gist of it. So the point is, get going with the day nice and early. Be careful to be a regular in the shul, right, as you should be, and start your day right, and that will make sure the rest of the day goes well as well. There is probably a more, in addition to that, there's probably a more fundamental idea here, which is that the activities which one does that most directly in his active consciousness think about his relationship with Hashem and how to relate to Hashem are Kriya Shema and Tefillah, right? Kriya Shema is the declaration of Yichud Hashem, that Hashem is one, that there is nothing else besides Hashem, and therefore your response should be to love Him and to fear Him, as Kriya Shema is about. And then the Tefillah is relating to Hashem, realizing that Hashem is the one on whom we rely, that everything we have is from Him, that we're dependent upon Him and need Him, and therefore whatever's happening in our life is about us being able to forge a tight bond with Hashem. Therefore, we pray to Hashem to talk about our problems and our requests for Him to help us and the like. So that forges the relationship. And these, of course, are like the centerpiece of what it means to have a relationship with Hashem. And therefore, we have to be zahir and be very careful about them. They should be a focus of our day. Secondly, he says, which is like a follow-up on the first, kishata mispalel, when you do pray, al tas tfilas chakeva elorachim v'tachnunim l'tnei makom. Don't let your prayers be keva. So keva means fixed. And if you'll recall, Shammai had said that your Torah should be keva, meaning that should be the centerpiece of your life and kind of your default as Torah. Tefillah comes from time to time. There's three specific times of the day that we do it. It's not something you do all the time. It should be something which is like not just a fixed thing. And to the contrary, the basic pshat of what it means to not make it keva is that, and this is brought down the halacha as well, is that you shouldn't relate to your daily prayers as being like a fixed burden, you know. I'm certainly guilty of saying, oh, I have to go now to Daven Mincha. I have to go to Daven Mincha. No, the spirit of this is you shouldn't say, I have to go to Daven Mincha. You should say, oh, now I want to go to Daven Mincha. Now's my big chance to Daven Mincha. Now's my opportunity to Daven Mincha. You understand? The point is, it's not about a burden, a fixed burden that you have to pay off, but rather like an opportunity, and not something that is obligatory, so to speak. Even though it is obligatory, that's not the point. Others learn, or like in addition to that, that the way in which you pray, and this is very important, shouldn't be kavu, shouldn't be like sort of static, but rather dynamic. Meaning, there's no point in like, you're not there to read the words out of the sitter. They're not there as some like a magic word that if you say them and don't think about them and don't mean them, well, don't worry, like it'll do its thing. No. Tefillah is about avodah shebelev. It's about connecting to Hashem, and therefore it's not about reading something off the page. It's about speaking to Hashem directly. Therefore, it shouldn't be kavua, like a fixed rote thing that you do, but rather something which is rachamim v'tachnunim. Rachamim means an expression of your disease, of your desire to have mercy from Hashem that you need, and tachnunim means like a sincere request. Okay, so there should be sincerity and a dynamism and a realness to it. Third of all, he says, I guess on the Ela Rachim B'Tachnun L'Fnei HaMakom, so here, probably a really reflection of this being Yirei Chet, there's an acknowledgement that really everybody sins, everyone has made mistakes, everyone, you know, has squandered opportunity that Hashem has given them, and therefore, when we're asking Hashem to give us additional stuff, it has to come with the request for Rachim. In other words, we don't necessarily deserve it because we have a checkered past, a checkered track record of making good use of the blessing Hashem gives us, but yet have rachamim, mercy on us, we want this, we need it, we really want to see you know, our lives be successful and meaningful and be able to have nachas from our family and all the rest of it, and therefore we make all these requests, so they should be tachnunim, sincere, and requests for rachamim, even though we don't necessarily deserve it. The third part of his message here is Alti Rasha Bifnei Atzmecha. Don't be wicked in front of yourself. And the Bartzor brings three different pshatim here, and I think that pretty much sums up the basic gamut of the approaches here. His first approach is essentially when you're by yourself, don't do things that would label you as a Rasha, meaning don't be two-faced, duplicitous, hypocritical, and, you know, present one face to the world, then when you get by alone, you know, behave in a different, improper way. That's just, first of all, not good. It's just wrong. Second of all, I think it's very psychologically damaging because a person then feels like he's a faker and a phony, and that's very, very damaging. We'll actually talk about that just a moment with the second shot, the Rambam shot, how damaging that is. One thing I should say, however, just as a PS to what I just said, is that don't fall into the trap of being like accused of being a hypocrite. Because this accusation of being a hypocrite is a red herring. It's a terrible fallacy. We all make mistakes. We all don't live up to our best expectations of ourselves. And life isn't all or nothing. So just because sometimes you do and sometimes you don't do the right thing doesn't make you a bad person. To the contrary, the fact that you're struggling with it and you're trying to do right, even though you don't always succeed, is the definition of a good person. The fact, if you're just in good habits all the time, you're not a good person. You're just like, you know, you're a well-behaved robot. What you want to be is someone who is actively doing their best to be good and striving to be better. And obviously that means a process, and that obviously means sometimes you succeed and sometimes you don't succeed. Don't give up and give in and say, oh, look, I'm a faker and a phony because I didn't do it right yesterday. No, to the contrary. That was yesterday, and that was your best yesterday, and today you'll do better. Now, the Rambam's shot, which the Bartholomew brings here, is that Alti Rasha Be'einecha. Don't perceive yourself in your own eyes as being wicked. And this is really important. This is sort of a mental health assessment. This is a psychological assessment, which is once you've categorized yourself as a failure in a particular area, or in all areas, just generally, you know, a bad person. So then that's a trick of the Yetzer Hara, which sort of you think, oh, well, I'm now authorized to just behave badly because I'm a bad person, you know? Or even instead of being a bad person in general, listen, I'm just a lazy person. What do you want from me? So that excuses all your lazy behavior. That's terrible. I think parents know, or they should know, that when you're being mechanech your child, the worst thing you can do is sort of label them. You don't say, you know, you are annoying. That's bad. You could say, why are you being annoying? Because they're currently being annoying. But that's very different than labeling them as annoying. And similarly, when you're being mechanech yourself, training yourself, you certainly don't want to give yourself a label that you are something. Not good. Again, because that would just sort of takes any motivation or sense of even the possibility in your mind of rising above it. I am a person who has a bad temper, so what do you want from me? I can't get, wrong. You're not. You're dynamic, you're fluid, you can grow. Don't label yourself, and don't make yourself with the label of being a Rasha. That is the Rambam's approach. Barzan brings a third approach, which I find pretty interesting that even he brings it, but here he says, Vanishamati, I heard a third approach, which is, Alti Rasha bedavar zeh, shetifrosh minatzibur v'ta'amod b'fnei atzmecha. Don't make yourself all alone, separating yourself from the community, because that would make you into a Rasha. So the fact that it's wicked to separate from the community. So don't be a Rasha b'fnei atzmecha means don't be wicked and remove yourself, making yourself all alone. That's not the right thing to do. We've had this already, the theme, a couple times before in the Masechta already, that the identity of a Jew should be as part of the tzibur, not as a yachid, not as a private person. The basic building blocks of Jewish society is not individuals, but rather batim, households, families, and you're part of something bigger than yourself. So don't take yourself away from the community and separate yourself and think you're different and special and unique and maybe going to remove yourself physically or you know, in your mind. No. That's being a Rasha. Be part of the tzibur, deal with it, be part of the community, and if there's a problem, work on yourself, work with the community, but don't abandon it and think you're solving the problem by removing yourself from a world that needs your investment and your help in getting to be better.